you ever wonder how it was that Jesus had any followers? After saying something like this, I mean, he's saying, you cannot be my disciple unless you hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life. And he says, you can't be my disciple either if you don't take up your cross and come after me. And that certainly would have had a big impact on the people who followed him because they had seen people crucified. They knew what that was like. We have an idea, but I doubt if any one of us has ever actually seen someone crucified. But they knew. So here's Jesus saying to them, these are the things that are necessary. And then at the end, you can't be my disciple if you don't renounce all your possessions. So it's kind of a wonder that he had any followers at all. But perhaps they knew or they understood how to interpret what he was saying. Because clearly he was not saying that we should hate our family members in the way that we usually think of the word hate, despising someone, wishing evil upon them. No, that would be a direct contradiction of his command to love our neighbor. So what does he mean? We have to love Jesus above all. Above all. It's not either or. Love your spouse and your children, your brothers and sisters, or love God. No. But we should always have our love for our family members in the proper perspective. Is it possible, I ask, to love your family without loving God? It is, technically, because there are lots of people that don't believe in God. There are lots of people that actually hate God and still love their family members, those that are close to them. Because that's just part of nature. It's our nature to love members of our family. But I will guarantee you that if you love your family because you love God, your love will be much truer, more authentic, and much deeper. And if you strive to love your family more because you want them to know what it means to be loved by God, then you're on the right track. Because in the end, God is glorified by that. God is glorified when we strive to love people better, more fully, more humbly, more deeply. I say very often at weddings that love is a choice. Love is a decision that we make. It's not an emotion. And it doesn't depend on circumstances or situations in life. Because whatever is going on, we always have the ability to choose to love. So what Jesus is saying in today's gospel, if we interpret a little bit here, is that he expects us to make choices that put our relationship with him first. Or in other words, Jesus demands that our relationship with him be the first consideration in the decisions we make, whether for our business, our work, our time management, our leisure, our family life, or whatever dimension of our life it might be. Jesus wants to be considered first. I'd like to make just a brief application of this principle to our participation in the voting process. People approach elections, as you know, in a variety of different ways. Very often, votes are cast based on what a person has in their own interests. They might vote according to what they feel will benefit them the most. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are invited to take a different perspective. we are invited to consider first our relationship with God and to consider what it is that we can do to glorify God the most. And one of the things, one of the ways that we can glorify God with our involvement in civic life is by seeking the common good, considering not just our own benefit, but what is truly going to be the best thing for our society, and beyond our society, for the whole world. Because in this election, obviously, we are electing someone who's going to have an impact on a realm beyond just our own nation. So, one of the ways that we glorify God in making our decision when it comes election time is by considering the common good, the good of all people. But who determines the common good? Who decides what is best for people? We aren't the ones who make that decision. God teaches us what is good. And if we are going to seek the common good, we need to seek to understand what God has shown us is good. In the scriptures, and especially in the teachings of Jesus in the scriptures, also in the teachings of the church, because the church continues to teach on behalf of Jesus. So we ask for the grace, not only in the upcoming election, but in every dimension of our life, to let our relationship with God and our pursuit of His truth and our desire to glorify God to be what animates and guides and directs and leads our decisions. If we're doing that, then we are making decisions in love. And if we're bold enough, dare say if we're crazy enough to be followers of Jesus, then that's exactly what's required of each one of us.